Now, y'all that are here, quickly open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew, his gospel, chapter 5. Written, inspired by God. And we need to just learn a few things, hopefully this morning. And again, I just say, Father, you do whatever you want to do. And help me, sir, submit to whatever leading direction you want to go. In Jesus' name. Say amen if you agree to that. Amen. Now, Matthew chapter 5. I always want you to bring your Bible. I want you to go to these scriptures. I want you to get used to carrying that word with you. It's just like in the old days, the old Western days, like having your gun. You didn't leave your gun behind. You might need it. Might be an old varmint trying to mess with the flock. And you need that gun. Well, the word is our sword. It's our protection. It's our manual. It's how we live. And you don't want to just trust the preacher. You want to read this stuff yourself. Study it at home. And then apply it to one's life. The Bible calls that being a doer of the word, not just hearing it. We need to do this stuff. The last 4 weeks, if you were here, we began to talk about sin. And we began to talk about how sin has no dominion over a believer. And now, because of just the understanding of sin, we don't have to do it. As a believer, you got power. And the Bible, as we were taught through this word, we have a Greek word called power, but that Greek word is dunamis power. And dunamis power is a power that Jesus was raised from the dead with. That God said, you have. You have that same power as a believer in Jesus, not outside Him, because you have no power. Matter of fact, as we declared earlier, you're nothing without Jesus. Jesus is everything. That's why He has the name above all names. And I don't preach in the name of Corey Ross. I don't preach in the name of Cowboy Church or any denomination. I am here representing my King. Your King, and His name is Jesus. And we got a hold of that, where we're not using the excuse that, well, we all fall short of the glory of God, you know. And it's amazing what happens when the power of God moves in the lives of believers. Oh, it messes some up, and they'll leave. And that's okay. Don't want them to leave, but I would rather be a God pleaser than a man pleaser. Say amen to that. Because there's some seeker-friendly churches that are rising up in these last days, and the intention might have started right, but then it got way off, and they won't say anything in this Bible that might offend somebody. Well, if you do that, then you won't say anything. Because the word, the Bible says, will offend. Because God wants it to be applied to the life, where the devil, on the other hand, in John 10:10, remember, the thief comes not but for to steal, kill, destroy. The enemy then wants to pervert the word. He doesn't want you to receive the power of the Word of God. And it'll run people off. They flat not used to, again, someone raising their hand and getting real excited about the power of the Word. You know, and, well, I can promise you, though, if you teach the Word, people come. If we start doing gimmicks and not willing to tell the truth of the Word of God because of offense, then we'll never be able to tell the truth. But what does the truth do to a believer? The Word of God is truth, and it makes us, say it if you know it, free. So everybody say that word, free. Say it one more time. The Word of God is truth, and it makes us free. And when we become free, then we're able to worship God however we need to worship Him. And if it's lifting our hands, or in some people's mind being fanatical about our God, then so be it. Because I'm going to be fanatical about our God, because Satan's fanatical of trying to run people off and causing them to allow sin to have dominion over them. Okay. Well, when you get into a message like that, praise God, it just keeps going. Now, we're not going to keep talking about sin and it doesn't have power over you and I. But all of it comes in together because Jesus began to teach us in Matthew chapter 5 about being blessed. So let's look at it. In verse 1 of chapter 5, and seeing the multitudes, Jesus, because it says He, went up on a mountain. And when He was seated, now look at me just for a second. When you study this out, you'll find out that that's just how Jesus taught. He'd go up on a mountain and He wouldn't stand like I'm doing, teaching the multitudes. He sat down. And then everybody sat down with Him. That was just the way He taught. And praise God for it. So you always see a lot of times when He's teaching the multitudes, it always talks about how He was seated. His disciples came to Him. Verse 2, He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, and then He used the first word, blessed. Oh, man. Look at me, y'all. Don't keep reading. I know you want to. We got to talk about that word, blessed. Because it's an important word that helps a believer. A lot of people are taught doom and gloom in church and rules and regulations. And they find out when they really study the Word of God that God wants you blessed, highly favored, praise God. That word blessed, when you study it out, and I looked in, I love the Strong's Concordance, man. It just really helps get to the root of these words. Well, that word blessed indicates large or of long duration. You're not just blessed just for a moment. If you're a child of the King and Jesus is the Lord of your life, the Bible calls you blessed. And not just for the moment, the long duration. So when it uses this word blessed, keep that in mind as we start reading about being blessed in certain characteristics of being blessed, and it's going to talk about, we all know it probably, called the Beatitudes. But you can't leave out that word blessed. The word is an objective suggestion of being happy. Praise God. I know a lot of you were happy yesterday when you saw the score of Texas. But they wasn't happy in Oklahoma, because both teams lost. They were happy at Texas Tech. I called my wife. Texas Tech won. But listen, there's something about being happy or joyful in the Lord, you see. Well, when you're blessed, you're supremely blessed, a condition in which there's congratulations in order. Congratulations, you're blessed. You see, there's something about knowing who you are in Christ. That you're blessed because of the Jesus that lives on the inside of you. Now since you know because of Jesus that you're blessed, why are you blessed? Well, then it goes and And it starts talking about a few things. And verse 3 says, blessed are the poor in spirit. And you got to take your time on some of these, y'all, because you want these characteristics in your life. You want this way of living, let's say. You want to know, you should know that this is something that you want to be when it starts talking about a few of these things. How you're blessed if you're poor in spirit. Now, don't get confused and start, well, but being poor is not a good thing. No, it's not talking about financial poor. It's talking about your spirit man. And when it says poor in the spirit, it's just those people that recognize their spiritual poverty. In other words, it's called humility. That's what poor in spirit is you're just humble that your God has saved you, gave you the crown of salvation, and you get to go to a place called heaven, and you get to have all the benefits of the Word of God. You're an heir of God, as we learned last week, and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. God gave you the manual, the Word of God, that was written, inspired by God. And you, all of those principles are for you, and they're yes and amen. They will work if you'll just apply them to your life and believe. Remember the scripture that says all things in the gospel? All things are possible to him that believes. We are believers, not doubters, in this church. You should be a believer of the Word of God. So it's talking about that you're blessed if you have this attitude, casting aside all self-dependence in order to seek the grace of God. That's all you're doing, is you wanting God's grace. And those kind of people have it for other people. And they have they just have this humility that they don't ever get accused of being holier than thou. Oh, goody two shoes. No, they just have this spirit of, gosh, like my spiritual dad taught me, Glenn Smith. He taught me when I counsel with people. He first taught me this. He said, listen to me. That's how he'd do me. Listen to me, because this is what I would do. And he always said that to me. He said, if it was me, when you're counseling people, you should always start out in your mind thinking, it could have been you. It could have been me. And if you have that attitude, then you're not just trying to correct them. You're just trying to get to the root of the problem, because it could be you just as much as it's them. And man, that changed everything. That's part of being poor in spirit. And it goes on to say, Jesus says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You see, that's something that we should strive for, is to just seek God's grace, you know. Not greasy grace, where, as we've taught for four Sundays, that, you know, you just all fall short of the glory of God. And you sin, because that's just part of life. And then you justify the sin because, well, it's just part of life. So, and you really don't understand it. No. The wages of sin's death. And we're not bound by that word called sin, praise God. We're justified by faith. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Justification literally means you're declared righteous, given a right standing with God. You're acquitted, praise God. That sin has no power over you as a believer, in other words. So there's something about being poor in spirit. Look at the next one. Blessed. Remember, a condition of congratulations. That's being blessed, man. Hey, congratulations, you are blessed. Wow. Wouldn't it be sad if you're always, wow, you always got problems. You're not too blessed. No, I want people to go, wow, man, you're blessed. Blessed. Wow. And I'm not talking about Ooh, I want to go to this one area, but I don't think I should. Let me consult with the Lord real fast. Yeah, he said not to, but I'll just say this, though. Anything you do, I'll tell you a story. I will tell you a story, though. I was doing a conference. It was 2 or 3 years ago. We do a big ministers' conference, and I mean a lot of preachers come. And I'm the president. I'm in charge of this conference. And we're just about to meet. I've told this story. Some of you might know, but a lot of you probably don't. And I looked to my right, and there was a man in like a suit, nice suit. And then I looked at his feet, and he had high heels on at a minister's conference. And you know, it's a lot of cowboys, and they're like, they're trying to get my attention, and they're, are you seeing what this man has on? Raised his hands during praise and worship, and thought, wow, that's different. And I'm talking, those heels were at least 3 inches, ladies. And I'm talking, the man could walk in them. You know, most of us men, if we tried to put the things on, we would have ankle problems. Not a problem with this man. And so, through the first sessions, I'm asking the Lord, how do I deal with this? Because they're expecting me, I'm the leader, to deal. This man has high heels on, and something's wrong with that. And I mean, everyone would try to talk to him and learn his, hear about his story. And boy, the Lord, as in James chapter 1, when you lack wisdom, just ask God. So I said, Father, what do I do? Man, he put it in my spirit, which fits right here. I went to the man and I said, how you doing? My name's Corey Ross. I don't say Pastor Corey Ross because I'm not his pastor. I say that here. I just introduced my name, and I said, let me ask you some questions. I said, I noticed you got high heels on. He said, yeah, I do. I said, well, let me ask you a question. Do you believe you're a man or a woman? He said, a man. I'm a man. I said, okay, and this is what the Lord put into my spirit. This is how the man got set free, hopefully. As I said, okay, well, I didn't try to say it's very confusing or whatever. You know how I did it? I said, I noticed you got high heels on, and you understand that most of the time we see high heels on women, not on men. And if you say you're a man, then I'm trying to figure out the motive of why you got high heels on. 3-inch heels. I said, the issue is not that you have high heels on. The issue is you're drawing attention to self. Everybody is looking at you and not Jesus. Set him free right there. He looked at me and goes, you know, I've never had anybody talk to me about it. And I had heard that he's been in major conferences all over the country with his high heels on. And no one said anything to him. And I was just bold enough to say, look, all of these preachers are looking at you, which means you're drawing the attention. And if you call yourself a minister, because he did, he said, I minister to a few people. I said, if you minister to people, then you can't draw attention to self. You have to draw attention to the name that's above every name, Jesus. You see, you get very confused, and that's why the Bible's trying to say, look, it's us that are supposed to look to God's grace, you see.
We want to be blessed. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, praise the Lord. I want to be poor in the spirit. I want to be blessed, but I don't want to be blessed where the attention is all about the preacher. I want the attention on the one that actually can break the yoke of bondage in your life. I want the attention on the one that by his stripes you're healed. I want the attention on the one that can cause addictions to be cast off of you in Jesus' name. I want the attention to be on the one that knows every hair on your head, every sparrow that flies. I want the attention not on me, not on Howdy, not on Ricky, not on Rusty. I want the attention to be drawn to the power of God that lives on the inside of us, and his name is Jesus. And I'm telling you, when the attention is on him, then there's power.
Amen.
Okay. That's poor in spirit. Because you just want to have an attitude of being a blessing to people. And in return, you're blessed. Let me get through one more, because we're really not going to get to the part where I didn't know which way the Lord was going to handle it. Until next week. See. Look at the next one, verse 4. Blessed. Everybody say blessed. Because again, we've got to get a hold. Not just reading these characteristics of people that are blessed. Jesus himself is saying this stuff. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Let's study that for just a second, because what it literally means is those who mourn, they're not necessarily people that have major problems in their lives. It's just those who experience the sorrow of repentance. When you study it out, man, you feel for people that are going through a tough time, and usually it's because of their own doing, right? I mean, we give the devil way too much credit, when usually it's us. But since we're learning that that sin has no dominion over us, the devil, we can say no to him. I remember, I've said this before, I remember Mama, my dad's mom. Mama would come to me and say, "Listen, Corey, don't talk to the devil out loud." And I said, "Why, Mama?" And I'll never forget where she said it. I was, I don't even remember the name, but it was right in front of Hillcrest Baptist Church in Carlsbad. That's where we were at. And we were walking to the car after the church service. And she said, "Now listen, Corey, don't talk to the devil out loud." And I was probably 10, 8, you know, somewhere in that area. And I said, "Why, Mama?" She said, "Because he might hear you." Now, she changed later on, but you know what that told me, even at my age? That she was more afraid of the devil than he was afraid of her. And man, he gave that devil a lot of power. Now, wait a minute. The devil has no power over you and me because of Jesus. He's just a fallen angel. He has to stand in the presence of our God. But you and me, we can sit or stand in the presence of God. We were the ones made in the image of God, in God's likeness. He's just a fallen angel. Now, he can tempt someone to come steal, kill, and destroy from you. But we don't have to be in fear over that, because we've got the blood of Jesus. We've got Psalms 91. We dwell in the secret place of the Most High. We abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We fear no evil, praise God. But man, we'll give the devil a lot of power. And he has no power, y'all. Yeah, but what about those demon-possessed people? Well, if there's demon-possessed people that try to bring fear into you, the power of God that lives on the inside of you, why don't you just cast the devil out? Well, if you don't know the power of God that lives on the inside of you as a believer, and you just sin, fall short of the glory of God, you'll never receive the power of God in your life. And you'll get up out of those chairs and you'll walk out because there's no power. But I'm here to tell you there's power on the inside of you because of Jesus. And when you get a hold of this, then when there's a mountain in your life, things are, you're going through a trial and a tribulation with the power of God on the inside of you, knowing that you're blessed, by the way, and you're just all about other people and you don't want them to hurt, because that's really what that's talking about mourning. Not your no crybaby. I mean, I was raised a little bit different, y'all, because my dad didn't cry. Not till he got older and he started preaching. Right, Mama? No. He was not a crybaby. He was a cowboy. And he would tell us, soak up the tears. Yeah, but Dad, I just got run over by a train. It don't matter. You got another leg. Let's go. That's just how I was raised. But when you get the Spirit of God on the inside of you, I was so embarrassed yesterday about myself. And I don't even know what TikTok is, y'all, to be real honest, but I see this video come on, and it was about an old service guy coming home. And it shows the service guy sneaking up, or some family member that you haven't seen in several years sneaking up and surprising. And I mean, it's a I started crying. And I told myself, you big old baby. It touched me. Well, that's part of being blessed. Now, I'm not a wuss. Should I have said that? Anyway, you know what I mean, right? I mean, when you're a man, you're a man. And women don't have to be men when you're the man. Amen? I just want to be blessed, but my heart got touched. And I started tearing up, and I'm looking around to see if anybody's watching, and then I remembered, wait, no one's home. You see, I want to know the characteristics of that part of Jesus that lives on the inside of me that causes me to be blessed when I operate in those. Not hate, not anger, all those other areas that we have to deal with. No. I want to be blessed, y'all. I want the blessing of God to be like, congratulations, you're blessed. And then me give all the honor, glory, and credit to the Lord. I don't want it to be about me. But see, we've got to understand that part of it in order to say no to sin. To understand the power that lives on the inside of you. I said just a little bit ago, and I'll close on this one. When you have a mountain in your life, you're going through a trial and tribulation, when you understand the power that operates on the inside of you, that's when you speak to that mountain individually. If it's health, finances, relationships that are broken, whatever it is, call it by name. I've had to do that at this church when we felt attacked and the enemy was, that spirit was trying to stop the move of God here. I've had to do it with people that literally tried to stop the move of God in my personal life. I had to speak to that. Now, we're not speaking to the person, okay? We don't wrestle against flesh or blood. We're only wrestling against the spirit of darkness, okay? So when you speak to the mountain, whatever it is in your life, speak to it individually. Debt, get under my feet in Jesus' name. Sickness, be cast into the sea. And then the Bible says, if you won't doubt, be a believer, in other words, not a doubter. Don't doubt in your heart. Just believe the things that you say, that they'll come to pass. You'll have whatsoever you saith. You see, that's power. Individually, I speak to sickness and disease. I had to do it to Crohn's. Crohn's disease, remember that they tried to tell me I had? I said, I don't receive that. The doctor said, nope, you got Crohn's. You're going to have to take medicine. Remember? I've told this story so much. I was just bold enough to say, Crohn's, you have no dominion over me. And that's how, that was the attitude I had. I was speaking to that mountain. Crohn's, get thee behind me. Get out of here in Jesus' name. You will not come to destroy this fleshly body that has the temple of that is the temple of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. And as y'all know, I was healed in Jesus' name. I was healed. So, know who you are. We're blessed. We're blessed. Congratulations. Congratulations, girl. You're blessed. You're like, what? What do I get a prize? No, you're blessed. Congratulations. You savvy? Congratulations, brother. John? Vicky? Congratulations. You know what the devil then does? You don't know what's going on in my life. And he gets you to start meditating on all the junk. No, wait. You just spoke to the mountain. Don't let that mountain come back. Get that mountain out in Jesus' name by the power of God. Amen? All right. Thank you, Lord. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for just the revelation that we can have in church, that we can understand the power of Jesus. He's not weak, but he calls us blessed. And so, Father, as we continue on and in understanding the Beatitudes, how blessed we are in these characteristics, God, help us to be just like you. We're not trying to be like the Apostle Paul. We're not trying to be like King David. Thank God for him. We're trying to be like Jesus. So, Father, thank you for helping us in the name of Jesus. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. As y'all know, I'd never leave a service without giving someone an opportunity to receive Jesus. Is he your Lord or not? Are you going to heaven when you die of the flesh? Or do you not know? Is he your Lord? Not someone you heard about. Is Jesus the Lord of your life? If he's not, he needs to be. I want to introduce him to you right now. He's the only way to get to the Father in heaven in John 14. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but through me. Jesus. Have you ever asked him, as Romans 10:9 says, to confess him as Lord with your mouth? Have you ever said, Jesus, come into my life and save me? I make you my Lord. Have you ever done that? If you hadn't, you need to do it right now. What we do at this church is we all pray it. Even the believers pray it because they're going to be praying it with you that maybe have never asked Jesus to come into your life before. Or maybe you've been saved a long time. Praise God for that. If you're saved for a long time, then the reason I have you pray the prayer, hopefully with someone around you, is for a second benefit. You need to learn the prayer. Because people won't come to even this comfortable church a lot. Some people just won't come. But if you know the spirit of this prayer, you'll be able to lead them to Jesus. So I ask you to believers to pray this prayer, but I'm really talking to anyone at the sound of my voice that has never made Jesus the Lord of your life. If you're here this morning, you don't know what would happen to you if you died. You don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell. You have to ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life in order to go to that place called heaven. But you need the Savior here on earth. It's pretty wild without the Savior. I need God in my life. So if you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you don't know what would happen to you if you died, then I want you to get some confidence by asking Jesus to come in. We're going to pray a prayer. All of us pray it. You ready? All I ask you to do is if you pray it, and everybody's going to pray it out loud where your ears can hear it, and then mean what you pray. I'll lead you and pray and mean what you pray after I say it, you say it. You ready? Here's how we're going to pray. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is my Lord. Jesus, come into my life and save me. Forgive me of my sin. I believe that you were raised from the dead. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. I'm saved, coming to heaven when I leave this earth. But while I'm here, I need a Savior. I need a friend. I need a healer. I need you. I pray this prayer to you, the Father, in Jesus' name. Before you look up and open your eyes, raise your head. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, I want you to have some confidence to not be ashamed about it. I'm not going to ask you to come down to the front, but I'm going to ask you right where you're sitting or standing, if you just gave your heart to Jesus, when I count to three, I want you to be bold enough to raise your hand up, say, God, I meant that prayer. I gave my heart to you this morning. And then just put your hand down. That's what I want you to do. I want you to do it with boldness, though. We're not ashamed that Jesus is now our Lord. If you just prayed that prayer, or if you're watching, you prayed it, let us know. But if you're in this congregation, when I say three, one, two, three, I want you to raise your hand up, say, I prayed that prayer. I gave my heart to Jesus this morning for the first time. And then just put your hand down. And I want you to do it with boldness. You ready? One, two, three, go. Anybody? Anybody? All right, look at me. It's always different when there's not one, because there's always one here. But hey, all of us are born again. You need to have confidence over that. Amen? Now, let's get some power and start being a witness. We're going to talk about that probably next week, about the power and how to be filled. You're going to see that. We're going to hunger and thirst. And we're going to talk about some things. Well, the power is tell people about Jesus. Invite them if you don't know how. If not, get them saved out there and then just bring them to church. Amen? All right. Did y'all have a good time? Oh, thank you, Lord.